I want to ask you a question. Are you satisfied with what Christ did for you on the cross? I mean, are you just satisfied in what he did? It's a very important question. Because if you try to add something else to what he did on the cross, then you're not fully trusting him. Are you satisfied with what he did for you on the cross? God was and still is today satisfied with what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. With that in mind, I invite your attention to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. The title of the message is very simple. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you satisfied tonight? John chapter 19. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If anybody's around you right now, they don't have their Bible, they don't have one, maybe just share with them. We want everybody to see that we're reading from the Word of God. That's what we want you to see this evening. John chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And then the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, the crowd, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." He ends up saying that two more times. A lot goes on throughout the rest of this passage where Pilate and Jesus actually have a conversation. It's an amazing set of circumstances that the Lord just brought it all through. But we're going to skip, if you would, to verse 17. And he, being Jesus, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by him, by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour That disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now, what's that next word? Accomplished. That the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to be born to die for our sins. Lord, thank you that over 38 years ago, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, that my sins were forgiven instantaneously just by trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this evening would be a night where there'll be many here this evening that have trusted you as their Savior, that they'll have a renewed appreciation, a renewed heart for what really happened on the cross. And Lord, if there's some here, and I don't know what it would be, but Lord, whatever the number would be, if it was just one this evening that have never trusted you as their Savior, Lord, tonight, would you give them the wherewithal just to step out and to come to the front during the invitation at the end of the service and to trust you as their Savior. Lord, do that. Lord, I'd ask that you'd calm every heart in here this evening. Remove every distraction. Remove me, dear God. May your voice be heard. And may your people be responsive to you. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross? These words, it is finished. These are words of triumph, not words of defeat by a martyr. These are words of a great victory from the sinless one, not words from the victim, but they're words from the victor himself. When he said, it is finished, it's not a helpless cry. It's not a cry of relief. It's not a cry of him being worn out or grasping for air. No, it's the declaration on the part of the divine Redeemer that which he came to earth to do was to save those lost sinners. It is done. It is finished. The full price for our redemption is now been paid for. That's what was finished on the cross. What really happened there is really a question that we need to apply personally. This can't be done as a group. This can't be done on your church membership. It has to be, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? So what really does it mean to you when you hear this question, is it really finished? What does it mean to you? Well, first of all, we see this, that he accomplished the fulfillment of the prophecies that were written about of him. Each one by one, that was written about his birth has now been fulfilled. It's finished. It's accomplished. About his whole life, it's fulfilled. It's been accomplished. About his death, all of this has been accomplished. It's finished. When the Old Testament prophet in Isaiah said that he would be born of a virgin, well, guess what? In the New Testament, Matthew tells us that he was born of a virgin. Every prophecy has now been fulfilled. It has now been finished. One by one, it's all been fulfilled. Everything that God said would happen regarding Jesus has now been fulfilled. It's finished. Secondly, we see that it's the finish to the Lord's sufferings. Imagine Jesus, God-man, chose to come into this body of a human. And now he's in the hands of angry sinners, jealous about him, mixed up religious leaders that have no idea what they're doing, handling him like he was a criminal, like he was the enemy. But now this is, on the cross, it's the finish to his physical suffering. Never again will anybody handle the Lord Jesus Christ like they handled him on the cross. Never again will he be beaten. Never again will they spit upon him. Never again will they whoop him. Never again. It's finished. Yeah, he'll never have that physical pain ever again. The cup's been drained. The darkness is over. And the wages of sin are now paid. The holy God has now been satisfied. Imagine, it is finished. A cry of triumph, a loud cry which reverberates today throughout the universe and throughout all eternity. The Savior, the Son of God, it claims, it is finished. Amen. Then he gave up the ghost. Wow. Never again shall he experience the pain. Never again shall he be beaten. Never again shall he have a crown of thorns placed upon his head to be put onto a cruel cross. No, the head that once was crowned with thorns is now crowned with glory. Yes. The one that hung on the cross is now in the highest place that heaven can afford, that only the Son of God sits at. Yes. And it's his place. Amen. Wow. Not only is it the finish of his pain, but we also see that his mission has been accomplished. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man is to come and to seek and to save that which is lost. This is written in the present tense as if it's never going to end. It means this, that Jesus came to seek and to save. And when we take a little bit of a study on that word and even the way that the verbiage is laid, it means that he came to seek and to save, and he's still coming to seek and to save. It isn't that it finished there, that he's no longer able to seek or to save. It means that he's still seeking and saving today. Even this evening, Jesus Christ is seeking to save any lost sinner. No matter of what you've done, no matter what your color is, no matter how rich or how poor you might be, no matter what you did last night, Jesus Christ seeks to save you. What a wonderful thought today. Not only did that something that he's accomplished, but to save sinners. In 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He could save you today.
Yes, sir.
You don't know what I did last night. I don't need to know. I'm not the one that is going to give you forgiveness. It's Jesus who's going to give you forgiveness. Right. Yeah. If he can forgive a murderer like Paul, I'm thinking he could forgive you. Right. If he could forgive me, a pothead, a cocaine addict, a drinker until the age of 20, started all of that at the age of 13, seventh grade. Anybody know anything about addictions? Have you tried to quit it on your own? Have you tried to turn a new leaf on your own? Have you tried to do something on your own to earn salvation? And maybe tonight you've just come, you thought to see a musical, but it could be that God is saying, now I want to deal with your sin because he wants to forgive you. He seeks to save you, regardless of where you sit. You might say, well, I'm going to sit in the back this evening because no one will see me, but Jesus sees you. You might say, I'll sit in the balcony because it won't be so confrontational. But Jesus is there. Yes, sir. He's seeking and he's wanting to save. And he wants to take away your sins. 1 John says in 3:5, he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. If you could trust Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight, this could be the end of you having to pay for your sins. The sins of a believer, someone who's trusted Christ as their Savior, all of them were transferred to the Savior there on the cross. Isaiah 53 says this, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if God laid my iniquities on Christ, then my sins are no longer on me. Isaiah 53, 6 says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So God took my iniquities, my sin, and he put them on Christ. My guilt, my condemnation, the penalty for my sins have been transferred to him. Therefore, because my sins were transferred to him, get this, they're not on me. If you've trusted Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross over 2,000 years ago, if you've trusted in that only, then your sins are no longer on you. Hallelujah. They're on him. That's a hallelujah time. I mean, that's something to rejoice about. But sometimes we just, it just gets a little old sometimes to us. We just kind of forget. If you're a believer, would you just stop and think a little bit about this? The sinless Son of God took all of your sins and bore them as a substitute. Yes, sir. And you didn't even have to ask him. He created you. Right. He gave you life. And then he died for you. And he bears it all. For everything you've done. Every lie, everything you've stolen, every time you've cheated, every time you've had a thought that you shouldn't have had, every time you shot a needle in your arm, everything God paid your penalties for. Wow. And that can happen tonight because Scripture tells us that the power that God had on the cross, he still has today, if you'll just believe. Not only was it the end of the fulfillment of his prophecies, the end of his pain, not only was it substitutionary, but it's also the final of Satan's power. See, in the view of the cross and the resurrection, this hour that we're talking about this evening when Jesus was crucified, this was Satan's final defeat. Now listen, it's true that Satan has not yet been chained and cast into hell, but his sentence has been passed. Yet it's not executed, it has been passed. He will be cast into hell one day in the future. His doom is certain. His power over a child of God is broken on this cross. See, I used to live for Satan. You might say, well, you were a Satan worshiper. No, but I lived. Everything Satan wanted to get me to do was to drive a bigger gap between God and I. Everything Satan wanted me to do was to bring him pleasure. Satan had a hold on me. But since I've trusted Christ as my Savior, listen, there's no hold at all that Satan has on me because the power of God is now available. If you think you can quit all that you got going on in your life, on your own, under your power, sir, I hate to tell you this, but it's going to be a disaster. Right. And if you think you can get yourself to heaven on your own, you are going to be mistaken one day. And you might say, well, that's when I'll respond to the invitation or to the gospel. It'll be too late then. Right. When you and I die, we will not have another opportunity to go to church and get saved. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you can get prayed out of heaven. That's a lie. Out of hell, that's a lie. You cannot. There's no water within the baptismal pool that will save you. No water can save you. No wafer can save you. And no woman can save you. It was Jesus who died on the cross for you. Nobody else. He can save you. Satan's power is defeated. Let's review. It is finished. What does that mean to you personally? Do you believe those words? That it's finished. It's done. Or are you trying to add something on your own to the finished work of Jesus Christ? To secure favor with God. So you say, I'll trust Jesus, but I have to do this, this, this to be saved. It's not out of the Bible. But I was told at a church that if I trust Jesus and I say this type of prayer this many times a day, I'm saved. That's not in the Bible. I'll trust Jesus and I'll get baptized. I'll trust Jesus and I'll give to missions. Then I'll be saved. That's not in the Bible either. I'll trust Jesus and I'll come to church for the rest of my life. Church attendance is not in the Bible regarding you being saved. It's trusting Jesus only.
That's it.
Are you trying to add something to it? Good behavior? Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you strive to do that. Where really all that you have to do is accept the free pardon of Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied? God was, and he still is, completely satisfied with all that Jesus did on the cross. Can I just get your attention? Just everybody up here. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm just going to beg you, in about 5 to 6 minutes, we're going to have an invitation. You're going to be given an opportunity to come to the front. I think there's going to be many that will be coming to the front just thanking God for what he did on the cross. Those are believers. And at that time, if you're a visitor here this evening, or maybe you've been visiting here a little bit, but you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is a wonderful time for you to slip out, even come out from the balcony, come out from the back. Come out from the sides and come down the front and let somebody show you in Scripture how you can trust Jesus as your Savior. Nobody will embarrass you. It's so low key. But oh, the difference it could make, not only in your life, but in your eternity. Why? Because we're all going to die. Like it or not, we're all going to die. The death angel is going to reach right through, going to grab a hold of you. And your eternity is either in heaven or hell. Ready or not, like it or not, believe it or not, it's going to happen. Yep. And when you die, you either die a believer or a non-believer. And you'll be that for the rest of eternity. Yep. Are you satisfied? Jesus said this. It is finished. What he came to earth to do was accomplished on the cross. And now he just looks for people to have faith in what he did for you back then. If you'll have faith in that and trust in that, you can go to heaven. Would you like that, sinner? Sinner, would you like to have nothing between you and God tonight? Nothing. Yeah. If you're here tonight and you battle life, maybe you've been surfing from couch to couch, weekend to weekend, sin to sin, party to party, marriage to marriage, job to job, needle to needle, addiction to addiction, and you thought you'd find peace. You haven't, have you? You're not gonna. Until you trust Jesus as your Savior. Would you let him free you tonight? He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. It's not the Baptist pastor you need to ask forgiveness from. No, he's a sinner too. I'm a sinner. We're saved sinners. Listen, we are just like you. If you're a lost person here this evening, we've just humbled ourselves and said, I need to ask Jesus Christ into my heart. 38 years ago, third Sunday, February, 1983, 1809 Queen Street. I remember just getting out of the couch of my parents' home. The TV went silent. It was 11:30 at night. And I just got down. I just got down on my knees. And I just started asking God to forgive me, to come into my heart and to save me. Ever since that day, I have found this that has brought me peace. For this life and for eternity, where no bowl or bong or needle or keg of beer ever brought me. Amen. No peace will be found. No job will bring you eternal peace. No education, no degree, no savings account will bring it. But Jesus could bring you peace tonight. Now, if you're here this evening and you're considered a guest, this church welcomes you. I'm the guest speaker, but let me tell you, I've been here, I think, over 22 times. These people would love to welcome you into this church. Yes. They would love to show you how to accept Jesus as your Savior. Yes. They'd love to minister to you and help you. They're not perfect. They're just saved sinners, just like you and I. In just a moment, we're going to stand. And I would encourage you that are believers, let's not expect the unbelievers to be the only ones responding to the Spirit of God. Let's not just say, well, let's just see how many come. If you have to, in a sense, look at this, what he did for you on the cross, I have to ask you this question boldly. I don't want to get everybody mad at me, but hey, I'm leaving tomorrow. But I don't want to get anybody upset at me. But here's the question. When's the last time as a believer you just bent your knee and thanked God for this? Yes. When's the last time you just bent your knee and said, God, thank you for dying. Thank you for being born to die for me.